This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horne, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name's Tom Ward, and I'm joined this evening by Andrew.
You all right, Tom, mate?
Evening, mate, and I'm also joined by Dean.
Evening, chaps.
Evening, lads. It's been another busy week for the Sky Blues as we hosted Cardiff at St Andrews on Wednesday and then travelled to top of the table Norwich on Saturday. A good week for the Sky Blues, chalking up 4 points and moving 3 points clear of the bottom three. Evening, chaps. I imagine you're both probably feeling quite positive after a good week for the Sky Blues. So I go to you first, Andrew.
Yeah, definitely, Tom, mate. 4 points out of a possible six will do me nicely. Yeah, it's nice to come on to a pod actually talking about a win and a draw instead of losing. So it's, it's going to be good, this one.
Yeah, definitely. How are you feeling about it, Dino?
Yeah, I was pretty down after Birmingham, I won't lie. I thought our performance and the result weren't great, was it? Let's be honest. But now, I mean, looking back, now that point seems like a fantastic point. It's give us a little bit of momentum into those two games. And we've come out of it with another four. So, you know, a really, really good week, a solid week for the Sky Blues, definitely.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it, with the Birmingham result. You know, at the time, you feel like we could have, you know, could have got more from the game. But as we said, if you back it up with a win and then another draw against top of the table, it looks good then, doesn't it?
Kind of feels like a building block, that game. Mm. It stopped the rot, didn't it? We were in a bit of a downward spiral, let's say. And it just stopped. You know, we didn't concede. We didn't lose the game. Gets a little bit more confidence into the squad. And you can see that that's happened because over the next two games, Cardiff and Norwich, obviously, we'll come on to.
Yeah.
But you can see the squad's been lifted. You know, there's a few faces back into the fold, the likes of Dabo, et cetera, and Kelly, for example. And it seems like the spirit's gone up a little bit more, and no doubt we'll get better performances for that.
Yeah, definitely. I do feel like we've turned a bit of a corner. I don't know what you think, Andy, but it does seem like we seem a bit more streetwise, don't we, in these recent games?
Yeah, conceding a lot less goals as well. What is it? One in the last three.
And that was a penalty as well.
Yeah, which wasn't.
We'll go on to that.
We'll go on to that later. But yeah, we're looking a lot more streetwise, a lot more tighter at the back, and it's great, isn't it? Great to have Liam Kelly back.
Yeah,
he makes a massive difference to us, doesn't he? So a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll look at the Cardiff game in a little bit more detail. We'll kick off with some of the stats, Andy. How did they look?
Yeah, very similar to Cardiff, really. There wasn't much between the teams in terms of stats. We had 48% possession. We had 11 shots compared to their 8. We attempted 436 passes compared to their 461. But more tellingly, we were more up for the fight. We had 12 tackles compared to their 6 successful and 10 successful interceptions compared to their 5. So it just shows that we were a bit more aggressive, and you would think that would come more from Cardiff because they're normally quite an aggressive side. But we were really at it and really up the front that game. So
we definitely were. And we'll get on to talk a little bit more about some of those 50-50s that we were winning in the middle of the park. But Dean, what did you think about the sort of team selection from Mark Robbins? Because he sort of changed things again, didn't he?
Yeah, another slight change of system. I think that's four or five different systems he's used.
Yeah, it's keeps obvious. Us on our toes, doesn't he?
It does a little bit, but it's obvious to me, and it should be obvious to everybody else. He doesn't really know how to attack the Championship yet with the squad he's assembled, because you know we've got very, very good individual players, but as a team, we sort of haven't gelled, I don't think, as well as we did last year. And it's a totally different league; it's understandable. But we continue with that four at the back. We push Giles into a more advanced role. And Shippey was also further up the field to try and help that lone man Walker at the top end of the pitch. It was nice to see Giles up there, to be honest. And it's something I brought up when we signed McCallum. Would we see Giles further up the pitch with both of them on the field? And Robbins chose to go with it for this game, and it worked.
Yeah, definitely. It was nice to see Giles playing further forward. And he sort of switched out onto the right, didn't he, as well at one point, Andy, I think. Maybe swapped back again. So it is interesting to have that option where he can cut in as well. From the right, as well as playing on the left.
Absolutely, because obviously he's left-footed, and if he plays on the right, it becomes more of an inside forward, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. I don't mind someone cutting as long as you've got a full-back overlapping, which we do have in Dabo, don't we? So, because he can play those through balls into Tyler Walker. He can play it to Tyler Walker's feet, and then obviously runners can get behind Tyler Walker if needed. So I was quite happy with seeing Giles going forward, and it's a definite option that we can use going forward on that right, because obviously that means we can play with wingers as well, which obviously Wesley Jabello coming back as well, that will help that competition for place down the right. So, no, I was quite pleased with the formation change, and it worked. I thought it worked really well, because I also like Gus Hamer in a more forward position as well, because I think he's so dangerous and so talented in that more forward area that it released the shackles off him as well. So, no, I was pleased with that formation change, Tom.
And it worked with McCallum, didn't it? McCallum's played at right back. Yeah. And he's come onto his left foot a couple of times and obviously scored from it in that game against Reading. But he's looked dangerous. But that's something we've got in the Championship. There's a lot of teams play with wing-backs. Mm. And if they're an ounce out of position and you've got someone on the opposite foot cutting inside, you're going to have so much space. And you've got the opportunity for them to go down the line also if the space is there. So it just gives you a more of a threat. And it's something we should utilise more during the season, I think, definitely.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Something else that Andy just mentioned there was sort of Hamer in that central role. It made a massive difference, didn't it, Dean, having him there right in the middle of the pitch?
Oh, massive. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that...
He controlled it, didn't he, really?
Yeah, he's a guy that dictates play. Mm. His passing out times is nothing short of outrageous. And having him on the right for that Birmingham game, I mean, you look back now, that was a massive mistake, you know.
Yeah,
we had no control of that game at all in the middle of the park, and he was probably the guy who could do that, you know, get his foot on the ball, dictate play, create something out of nothing almost. And you know, if you have him on the right, you take away most of his dangerous assets, you know. He's tracking back all the time. You know, he doesn't have that option to spray a pass. It's a longer pass out to left for him from the right hand side. And having Kelly and Sheaf there in the middle of the park in this game allowed him that bit more freedom to move, as Andy said, move forward, give him a bit more of a license as such to be free. And he joined in the attacks really well when we had the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. There weren't loads of chances in the first half, Andy, but a nice ball over the top of the defence from O'Hare, and Shipley just couldn't quite finish, could he? You know, should he be doing better there with those sort of chances?
Yeah, maybe. It was from Hamer, Tom.
Was it Hamer?
I thought it was from Hamer. Was in that central position, as we talked about just now. It was a great, little half volley over, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Shippers, he could have done better. I'll give credit to the keeper here. I thought he spreaded himself quite well. He narrowed the gap between him and Shipley really well. Because Shipley had to bring it down and then shoot. Perhaps he delayed it a little bit too much, but I'll give a bit of credit to the keeper there. I thought he did well.
Yeah, definitely. And something we noticed in the stats there was, you know, a lot of interceptions, a lot of tackles. Mm. It felt like we were winning a hell of a lot of those sort of 50-50s in the middle of the park, Dean, which obviously helped us a lot.
Yeah, and it was down to one man, the skipper. I've got my Liam Kelly pyjamas on for the podcast.
Yeah, he was everywhere, wasn't he?
So I'm just going to big him up here. I mean, probably one of his best performances, I think, in a Coventry shirt.
Yeah.
You know, just incredible. You know, he popped up in every single area of the pitch where there was a threat. He just seemed to mop up everything. He was one step ahead of everybody else on that field. And it shows the footballing brain that Liam Kelly's got. Okay, he's played in all the leagues, but, you know, he showed he's capable in the Championship as well. You know, when central defenders stepped out, he was there to cover those positions. If Sheaf had two men on him, he was offering a pass to take the ball, to take both players out of the game. And, you know, he made the most tackles in that game. So he was always available when a pass was on. And, you know, somehow he turned into the Midlands answer to Perlo at one stage. You know, he played this pass through the middle of the park. Honestly, no word of a lie. It wouldn't have looked out of place in a Juventus shirt, honestly. And he had close to 80% passing accuracy himself, which is great to see. He's turned into a completely different beast for me in this division, and it's great to see.
Yeah, I think it's something that we touched on the live, wasn't it, Dean? That, you know, the concern coming into Championship was, would he be quick enough and things like that? But, you know, in that role he's playing, he doesn't need to be, really, does he?
Absolutely not.
The stuff he's doing is what we need. We don't need a really quick player in that position. So I think he's perfect for our team.
He's there to mop up any danger.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of attack in the Championship goes through the middle of the park.
Mm.
And if he's one step ahead of the play, he's always got the opportunity to make that crucial interception, to make that crucial challenge.
Yeah.
I personally had no qualms over whether he would be able to do it in the Championship. I just think he's a fantastic player. Mm. And he's an old head, and he's got really, really good fitness levels as well to compete at this level. And hopefully we'll get more of those performances from him during the rest of the season. I think he's going to be key, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I agree. Cardiff did sort of have the ball in the net at one point, Andy, but it was obviously ruled out for a foul. Sort of hearts and mouths a little bit there then that moment, wasn't it?
It was, because I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, it did.
It was one of those. It was like, oh, okay. I'll take it and run off down the road, because there didn't seem anything. Obviously, the ball's on the right-hand side. It was a decent free kick in. And he started kind of like kneed it in, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know whether the ref thought it was a handball or something. I don't know, but I don't know what he gave it for. But, you know, sometimes, we've been on the rough end of a lot of decisions. So, football evens itself out over a full season. So I think we deserved our little bit of luck there.
Yeah, we definitely did. And then we'll talk about the Walker goal, obviously. And obviously, we praised it a lot on the live, Dean. It was a cracking over the keeper, wasn't it? A very cool finish from Walker.
Yeah, when we eventually got to see it. Big thumbs up to the iFollow director. He did a really good job there.
Yeah.
We had to make do with Clive describing the action. And
was he calling them Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, Sheffield. Honestly, some of the shouts he made during this game were just outrageous. Yeah. I wonder what Oggie thinks at times.
I always think that as well.
I like listening to Oggie, but Clive, he worries me because he just doesn't seem to want to be there.
No, he's a Tranmere fan, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's a hard life, isn't it, watching football?
I find it quite funny at the away games when he's always complaining about how loud the music is, the pre-match. He hates it, doesn't he?
Or moaning about how long he has to take to get home.
Yeah.
And he also moans about managers moaning about referees.
Yeah.
All the time. He's like, he must be close to losing his job. He's on about the referees now. Like, I've heard that line from him at least 10 times over the last 2 years. Honestly, some guy. But the goal was, you know, if someone in the Premier League had scored that goal, it would have been plastered over the TV for days, honestly.
Yeah, if Salah did that, everyone would be buzzing about it, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
no,
I mean...
No, Wheeler-esque.
It definitely was. And had sort of the touch of Bergkamp versus Newcastle about it as well, you know.
Just
one step ahead of the game, you know. He anticipated that mistake. He was on his toes, ready to rock and roll. And when he got hold of the ball, honestly, the feint to go one way and around the other was just beautiful to see. Honestly, it's another one for the Tate Modern lads, if I'm honest. And just a delightful finish as well. A little dink, you know, not too much power, but finessed.
Yeah,
I would say into the goal. And it's no less than what we deserved, to be honest. You know, I don't think Cardiff offered much.
No, they
didn't. We looked to be that team who were going to create that goal scoring opportunity. And okay, although a Cardiff mistake led to the goal, it still needed to be finished off, and he did it with an absolute aplomb.
Yeah. We're going to have to do a Tate Modern Award ceremony at the end of the season, aren't we, Dean?
I think we are. I mean, we've got some real moments, haven't we, so far to go in.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that on a video. And then, Andy, let's talk about the Morosi injury. Obviously, you used to be a goalkeeper, so you know what it's like with those sort of ones. Mm. Really nasty one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you've got to praise Morosi for his bravery, isn't he? You know, he wanted those 3 points more than anyone, didn't he? And he wasn't going to pull out, was he?
Right.
So it was great on his part. And to be honest, it secured the 3 points for us, didn't it? But unfortunately, his injury is horrific, isn't it? He's you know, fractured his cheekbone and his eye socket. And what Robbins was saying on Friday in his pre-match, that he's going to be out for a while, isn't he?
Mm.
So, which is a real shame, because obviously he's been great this season, Morosi. But it was done by Morrison. I don't like Morrison. He's not a nice player, is he?
No.
So it wasn't a surprise when I was watching that he was involved.
I don't think enough's been made of that challenge.
No, Robbins played it down.
Pretty bad, wasn't it?
You look back at it now, before the ball is even sort of towards Morosi, Morrison knows where he is. He knows what he's going to do.
He's got
one thing in his mind, it's to hurt Morosi. No doubt about it. He's not a nice player. You know, I've heard a lot about Morrison over the years, and he's just a nasty streak of work. And you know, this is a problem we have in the game. You know, there's no retrospective action against someone like that, and there should have been, without a doubt.
Booked, didn't they, Dean?
You got booked, so you can't do anything about it after the game. So it's an absolute farcical way of dealing with things. You know, it's absolute nonsense. He should have been reprimanded. It's disgusting, and now we're going to have to pay for that.
Yeah,
with the first choice goalkeeper is out. You know, Morosi, has had a decent season up to now, if I'm honest. And, you know, losing him now, for all intents and purposes, is probably going to be a couple of months, if I'm honest. Is going to be a big blow. But, you know, we have Wilson. We've got Camp now in. I'm not sure how much Camp's going to play. He's
probably can we rename that as Sky Blue Extras, Wilson, please?
Sorry, Extras.
For sponsorship purposes.
Yes, please.
Brought to you by Sky Blue's Extra.
Yeah, every time you say Ben Wilson from now on, you have to say brought to you by Sky Blue's Extra.
I want that in the official team. You know, when the team comes out at 2 o'clock, I wanted that as well on the official feed.
Is it in the programme?
Yeah, it's in the programme,
Brilliant. Love it.
Yeah, it's good.
So, we got Ben Wilson, sponsored by Sky Blues Extra, to deputise in goal. And he looked good on Saturday, and we'll come into that a bit more. But we brought Lee Camp in, obviously, as well. Experienced head. I don't think he'll be the first name on the team sheet ahead of Wilson, if I'm honest.
He's all right if he doesn't play.
Well, exactly. It's a really good option to have there. And you know, a lot has been made about Bilson as well, the young man from the academy.
He looks a good talent.
He does. It's probably, you know, it's sort of throwing someone into shark infested water, throwing him into the championship. So I'm not sure how much of a part he'll play over the next couple of months. But I think we're okay. You know, the games we've got to come probably helps us a little bit more. It's got a lot of teams with not too much of an attacking threat, so I think that will be key. But yeah, losing Morosi is an absolute blow, a disaster as such, really.
Yeah, it is. Obviously, yeah, as you said, Wilson, sponsored by Sky Blues Extra, came on, and it's not easy, is it? Because, you know, he's not really played at all. We even said, like, last season, didn't really play in the Cup. So to come on at that point of the game, you know, he's probably feeling a bit nervous. But he played his part, didn't he? Commanded the area really well in those last couple of minutes.
Man of the match performance, wasn't it? He looked a little nervous when he came on, I thought. But he did really well. I mean, he only played for 3 minutes, didn't he, or something like that. But the chance the cross at the end of the game, you know, he was very commanding. Obviously not a keeper, but I thought that was absolutely superb. Very confident. We heard the shout as well.
Yeah.
And he looked really, really strong. And distributed the ball really well when he had the opportunity. So, you know, fair play to him. It's not easy coming into a match with a couple of minutes to go.
Goalkeeping is all about routine and playing a bunch of games and to get your rhythm like he did. He did really well for the last 3 minutes, because to come off the bench cold as a goalkeeper is very difficult. Very difficult, because, you know, he knew the kitchen sink was going to come at him, and he dealt with it brilliantly.
Yeah, I suppose if you sit on the bench week in, week out, you're never expecting to come on, are you?
No rhythm, Tom.
As an outfield player, you know that you've got to be warmed up and ready to come on, because you might be used. But as a keeper, it's not a nice sort of position to be at the club, really. But, you know, I think he deserves his chance. He's waited very patiently. So I hope, you know, Robbins puts his faith in him. I'll grab a man of the match from both of you. I'll go to you first, Andy.
Got to be Liam Kelly. I'll just bring a few stats here for you, because his defensive display was absolutely crazy. 6 interceptions, which is the best by anybody. 13 ball recovery, which is again the best by anybody on the pitch. 4 tackles made, best by anyone on the pitch. And 4 clearances as well, best by anyone on the pitch. He was far, like Dean said earlier, far and about above anybody on that pitch that night. He was outstanding. Outstanding. And if they were doing Liam Kellen pajamas, I would have ordered some.
Haven't got any?
Maybe we can get them on the Sky Blues Extra website soon.
Yeah, we're going to have a word.
We'll work on that. Dean, I'm presuming you're probably going to go with something similar.
Yes, it's an echo of that. I picked them up earlier in the pod. So, yeah, Liam Kelly, outstanding. Just a ridiculous performance.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Now we're going to move on and talk about the Norwich game. Obviously, the Sky Blues travelled to top of the table Norwich on Saturday in what looked like possibly a tough game, but obviously Norwich had a few injuries, so a chance to perhaps pick up some points. Andy, what were the stats for this one? How did it look?
They look a bit weird, Tom, because I thought we were the better team. But if you look at the stats, it, apart from the shots, it looks like they outplayed us, which they didn't. So, but I'll run through them anyway. 37% percent possession for us. We had 13 shots versus their 9, which is the only stat we beat them on. 383 attempted passes compared to their 702.
Wow.
78 pass accuracy compared to their 88%. And we won 14 tackles and they won 12. So we beat them on the tackle front as well. But if you look by those stats, it looks like they outpassed us. But for me, when you know I was watching the game, I thought we were the more dominant side. But yeah, I'm a bit strange by those stats. But
I suppose it just goes to show. I mean, you know, we maybe didn't have as much of the ball, but it seemed like we used it quite well, and we were quite efficient with the ball, weren't we? And got in some good, you know, Dabo was getting to the byline, and we were doing some good stuff. So, you know, you don't always have to have a lot of the ball. I don't think they played with a huge amount of intent a lot of the time.
Stats don't win you games, do they, Tom?
Exactly, mate. Exactly. Yeah. And again, you know, some question marks around the team selection, as it seems to every week. What did you think of it, Andy? Was it? Do you think Robbins had one eye on Tuesday, possibly?
Definitely, but it annoyed the shit out of me.
I know it did. I'm letting you get your frustration out now.
I kind of thought that it might be coming. He's obviously earmarked the Derby game as a massive game for us, which it is. And he's obviously saving his best players for it. And it worked out for him, just. But that's all I'll say to him. It worked out for him, just. Because if he hadn't have got a result and we would have come away from Carrow Road losing 1-0, there have been a lot of people questioning his selection, including me.
Yeah.
Especially with how we heard about Norwich had been like...
Exactly.
Like, you know, batting down the hatches, all the academy players into the squad and stuff. You hear those talks in the week and you're like, oh, we've got a chance here. Mm. And then to throw out the team he did, I'm thinking... Oh God, he just wants to try and get away here from a draw where the opportunity was arising that we could take more than a draw from this game, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I questioned it. I still question the starting 11, but you know, at the end of the day, he's got it right, just about.
I will say one thing about that is that I did think he got his selection wrong, but I will say fair play to Robbins because he did when we were 1-0 down. He made early subs, 60 minutes, and he threw the kitchen sink at them. So fair play for Robbins for that.
Yeah, we'll talk about the subs in a bit more detail later on. But I was going to say, as a sort of general point, I suppose it is interesting, isn't it, with the team selections because you've got 5 subs, you can really just completely change it if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So, you know, we talked about whether it would benefit us or not, the 5 sub rule. But, you know, Robbins obviously feels like he can put that sort of team out and completely change it if he wants to. And he obviously did. So, you know, that's possibly something to think about, isn't it? When we see these team selections, that it doesn't mean that'll be the team for the whole game.
Mm. Now, and now we've got 5 subs that you can bring into a game. It just gives us the opportunity to completely change the way we play. So, you know, that's probably one thing in the back of his mind as well.
Yeah, definitely. The game kicked off and Norwich had some early possession, but we sort of grew into the game, didn't we, Andy, from there?
Yeah, we did. They started off quite well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like you said, they had a bit of possession.
They keep it well.
Yeah, they do keep it well. They're a good pressing team as well, aren't they? Obviously, by the German coach, Farker. So, yeah, they're a good pressing team and they do press you and they win the ball back high. But they started well, but then we grew into the game, didn't we? And for me, from 15 minutes onwards, I thought we were the better side.
Yeah,
especially after Ben Wilson, sponsored by Scobie's Extra, that double
superb
save.
Saves.
Superb.
Once he made that double save, I think it actually settled the team down a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's like to say, you know, we have got, maybe they're cautious with Wilson behind them potentially.
Yeah, possibly.
And it sort of calmed the team down to say, okay, you know, he's actually a decent keeper. Yeah. Now he can play some football. We don't have to worry too much about him being in goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it was important. And similar to what we said about the Cardiff game, just being sort of thrown into his first start, you know, having not played a lot of football, and then to make those brilliant saves to keep us in the game. Yeah, fantastic from him. And then, obviously, they got their penalty. And, you know, I mean, it just wasn't a penalty, was it? I felt like they were looking for them all day. I mean, there was the Ostergaard one not long before that as well, which was just nothing. For some reason, the refs decided to give this one, Dean. I just don't know what he was thinking.
I think that one with Ostergaard was more of a shout of a penalty than the actual penalty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think either of them were pens, but yeah, that the Wilson one just definitely wasn't, was it?
No, no. I mean, listen, there's only one way that ball could go when Wilson wins the ball and it's ahead of him. You know, if the attacker wins the ball doesn't go behind him. You know, it's just simple physics there. Okay, he takes the player out, but he's got to go for the ball, hasn't he? You know, that's the key thing. You know, you see that on the anywhere else in the pitch, a lot of players take the ball and then take the player after. It's just a collision. It happens. That's what's, it's a contact sport at the end of the day. I mean, that's awful refereeing. Awful. Mm-hmm. He makes the decision so quickly as well. He doesn't give himself time to think about the decision. But I don't expect a lot from Keith Stroud, to be honest. You know, he shouldn't even get a spot refereeing on a PlayStation game, if I'm honest. You know, he
I watched I watched the live on Saturday, Dean, and you definitely went in on him then. And sounds like you're still pretty angry now.
To be honest, Tom, I'm even more angry, if I'm honest. I look back at the game.
Was that over the weekend?
Yeah, exactly. You know, he was awful for us in that game against Swansea early in the season as well. Mm. There's so many decisions that night that were potentially 50-50 decisions, but they went against us all night pretty much. And I remember the playoff semi-final last season as well. It was a crazy decisions in those games, and he sent a Brentford player off. But yeah, it's just not a penalty. I don't care what you say. And the funny thing for me is that I look at Twitter during games and after games, and all the Norwich fans are going, "Oh, it's 100% a penalty." I'm like, "What planet are you on?" Even if that happened against us, I would say that's not a penalty.
Yeah,
it's great goalkeeping.
Brilliant goalkeeper. Yeah. He's brave. He anticipates that run.
Yeah. He comes out, times it well. Yeah. It's annoying. Yeah, really annoying.
Honestly, if we talk about it some more, I'm just going to get more annoyed and probably punch my laptop.
don't worry, Dean. Let's move on before you get a bit angry there. One of the performances I was really pleased with in that first half and across the whole game was Dabo. Thought he looked much more like himself, Andy. And he was getting sort of the byline, wasn't he, and getting some good balls into the box. More like the Dabo we knew from last season.
Yeah, he's getting better and better every time he plays, isn't he? He was a great delivery for Alan, and Alan, well, made a bit of a mess of it, didn't he? Which kind of sums his season up, really. But he's just not clicked, has he, James?
Not quite hitting the levels, is he, really?
I haven't found his feet at all, really.
No, and that header kind of sums his season up so far. But going back to Dabo, no, he is looking back to his old steam-trained self, isn't he? He's getting passed down the bar line, and we love him when he gets to the bar line, don't we?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And then whips one of those crosses in. Yeah, so he's getting better and better each game. So more hopefully that continues week in, week out now.
Yeah, I think with Dabo getting to the byline and players like Walker in and around the six-yard box, we'll score a lot of goals this season, I think.
Definitely. Yeah,
if that chance lands to Walker or Godden, by the way, it's a goal.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, isn't it? They're so clinical.
The fine margins we have in this division, you know, that could have come back to haunt us, that chance. If I'm honest, you know, that was probably the biggest chance of the game. And Alan definitely fluffed his lines. But yeah, Dabo was superb that game.
And I think I think I heard that Robin said after the game that he was sick in the game as well. So he's playing for bit painful. Yeah, he's playing for a bit of a pain barrier at the moment, Dabo. So that's fair play to him. It shows that he wants to play and he wants to fight for the shirt, doesn't he? He
probably saw a replay of the penalty decision. That's what made him sick, to be honest.
Dean, we're moving on, mate.
Just let it go, Dean.
After this podcast, Dean, that's it. We have to get on with our lives.
We do.
You can't let it get into your work week. It'll get you down. But yeah, I thought second half we started to play some nice football, Dean.
Yeah, we really came into our own the second half, you know, really nice stuff. Utilising those wings, which was absolutely key. The amount of space we had for Dabo and Giles, you know, they looked really, really dangerous in those advanced positions, I thought. O'Hare linked up with both of them. He seems to have a real good understanding with those two, Dabo and Giles O'Hare. They really know what they're doing when they've got the ball in their possession. There's intricate passing, the little 1-2s, the little give and goes. It's really, really nice to see. And O'Hare had a brilliant chance, didn't he? Linking up with Giles on the left-hand side. Yeah. Really, really smart play as well. He feinted to go in that far right-hand corner, but went for power, which was well saved. And credit to the goalkeeper there. He saved really, really well. But, you know, I'm going to go on a little bit of a negative here with this. So I do think sometimes for all our good play, we don't create enough high-end chances. You know, the ones that really, really make a difference. You know, you see teams that make two or three of those a game, and we're struggling to make one
during matches. It doesn't help when you change your shape all the time.
It doesn't, no, because you know you lose that understanding of the team and the players around you, and it's difficult to gain confidence as well. So, you know,
do you not think, Dean, we've been like that for a while though? Because I mean, even last season when we, you know, won the league and we were brilliant, we were only winning, you know, 1-0s, 2-1s, weren't we? We've never won games 4 or 5-0, have we? So
but I still felt like every time we went forward with the ball last season, we were creating at least a half chance. I just don't feel like we're creating enough of those this year. Is it because, you know, we're losing the ball with stupid passes, you know, is our position in play not up to scratch? You know, there's probably a few reasons, but yeah, I think if we can get that back into our game, creating that half chance and turning those half chances into full chances, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah,
I just don't think we've done that so far.
Yeah, definitely. I think the story really of that second half was obviously the substitutions. He obviously brought three on initially, so some quite big changes. I thought Hammer made a real difference in there, Andy. Some cracking balls that he was playing.
Yeah, when you can bring the best player or one of the best players
Super
in the championship,
on
the pitch, is not bad after 60 minutes, is it?
Exactly. What I mean about the lineup. It's like you know, people might be questioning the lineup, but if you can bring players like Hammer on, it makes a huge impact in the game.
Yeah, but we could have been winning if he started.
Yeah,
but that's
but you know, he's looking at Tuesdays, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah. But that's the upper end of the argument. I'm going to get past that now as well. But no,
got to get over it. Got to get over it.
Sorry, Dean, I'm taking a note out of your book. Yeah. Well, let's build a bridge. I'm doing it. Yeah, done. Okay. But no, he came on him and Shippers as well, and Walker came on as well, didn't he, for Bakker? And I thought that Hamer came on and. His range of passing is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Just unbelievable. And also his work rate is just fantastic as well. Just nipping back to the Cardiff game, do you remember seeing his header that he missed? But then as soon as he missed it, he was punching the ground, but then he thought, shit, I best leg it back. His work rate is outstanding for the team, and his range of passing is one of the best in the league.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a little bit of history made in that it was the first time that the Sky Blues have ever made a fifth substitution in a game. I think we made a fourth last year against Birmingham in the Cup. It was great to see Wesley Jabello back on the pitch, wasn't it, Dean?
Yeah, he's worked really, really hard to get back. And, you know, a couple of opportunities he had to run at the defence. And that first one where his touch was miles ahead of him.
His touch was pretty bad, wasn't it? Bless him.
If he was in our own box, it would have been a great touch. And he probably would have sprinted the whole length of the pitch. Yeah, but brilliant to see him back. But what that also gives us is an option, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's that option
really
now.
Option.
On the wing, you know, if we need to change a shape or a system, if things are not really going our way in a match, he gives us another option now.
Yeah.
A bit like how Jody Jones would have given us a different option as well. And at least we've got one of the two available. We don't know too much about them in the championship, obviously. But, you know, let's throw them in and give them a go.
Definitely.
They may be the difference makers this season.
Yeah. Well, we know Robbins wanted to have winger options, didn't he? Because he signed Hilsner, who obviously probably hasn't quite worked out. Jones was getting back and then he was injured again. Obviously, Jabello's coming back. So we know that it's something Robbins wants in his armoury. And Jabello's probably going to be the main winger we've really got at the club this season.
Yeah, and if he wants to play in that formation he played against Cardiff, then that's ideal, isn't it?
Yeah, he slots in.
Slots in on the right. Then there's competition between him and
Giles.
Because I think he wants to play McCallum left back.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see Giles playing further forward. Giles can play on the left. So there's competition between Giles and Shippers. Or you could play Giles on the right, where there's competition between him and Wes. And then in the middle, you've got competition between Hamer and O'Hare.
Yeah, some nice options.
It's looking good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's some really nice options in that midfield. And then Fads had a headed chance. Again, an absolutely terrific ball in from Hamer. Brilliant ball in, Andy. And Fads has hit the post. Felt at the time like it was going to be our one and only chance.
It was close,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very, very close. And it would have been nice if Fads got a goal. He doesn't get many, does he? And it would have been good. But no, the ball was just asking to be headed in, wasn't it?
It makes it so easy, doesn't it, when it comes in like that?
It was just asking to be headed in. It was just a fantastic ball by Hamer. And it was unlucky by Fads because it hit the wet ground and it hit the post. So, yeah, a bit unlucky that one all round.
Yeah. And then obviously just talking about the goal, I think Hamer started the move off out to, again, a brilliant ball out to Giles, and then Giles whipped it into Walker, and then Bjarmo with a very rare tap-in, because he only scores worldies usually. He didn't, yeah. He actually fancied doing a tap-in for once, Dean.
He did, but yeah, I mean, let's just...
He still smashed it in, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much half volley smack from 2 yards out. It was great to see. But the ball, let's talk about the ball from Hamer.
Mm.
I mean,
amazing.
That is straight out of Beckham's top drawer, isn't it? That sort of ping.
Is that going to Tate Modern, do you reckon?
Potentially.
It's getting busy in the Tate Modern,
yeah,
mate.
It is, yeah. We might have to start charging a fee for people to come in and see this.
Yeah.
And make some money.
Yeah, you should, mate.
But yeah, what a ball. Giles, fantastic run as well. I mean, the challenge, we'll talk about the challenge a bit after the goal. But yeah, great anticipation by Walker trying to get across his man. You know, really good challenge from the defender there. But Bjarmo, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. See how fast he got up?
Mm.
It was like me when there's a few spare roast potatoes knocking around on a Sunday.
Did anyone see the size of his thighs as well?
Yeah, he has got big legs.
They are Cyril Regis-esque.
Yeah, tree trunks for legs, for sure. But yeah, you know, a finish. It still needed to be finished, lads. That it's a difficult chance coming back in quickly, and to have that anticipation to get up off the floor and finish it off was brilliant. But let's talk. Can we talk about that challenge? Absolutely disgusting from Max Aarons. He only had, again, a bit like Morrison. He only had one thing in his mind. Nothing about the ball. It was the player, and he got injured from that. Max Aarons, which, you know,
serves him right.
It does serve him right. But, you know, crucially, we've got away with one there with Giles not, you know, taking maybe a season defining injury. I've seen a lot of those take players out, you know, ACLs, broken legs, broken ankles and stuff. It's not nice to see. But what was nice to see, once we scored the goal, the whole squad went towards Giles. To see how he was, just shows how well we are as a squad. You know, we're together in this, sticking up for their man. Seeing how he was, that was brilliant to see. More so than the goal as well. You know, we're all in this together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how would you sum it up then, Andy? A good point on the road. Possibly could have been more, but for me, I'm just happy that we're, you know, turning some of these narrow defeats into points, because I think that's the key in this championship season.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a decent point. I was, you know, going back to my point, I think it could have been more.
Yeah.
I think we could have, if we played a stronger team, but I can understand why he did it. But yeah, if we would have played a stronger team, I think it could have been three. But overall, you've got to be happy with a point going to the leaders away from home, haven't you?
Yeah, and it sets up the next few games quite nicely. You know, it puts us in a decent position in the league.
And also, go on, carry on, Tom.
No, I was just going to get a man of the matches off you both.
I would go for Ryan Giles. I think the way he is progressing, especially his attacking threat, is unbelievable. It's like we didn't talk about it, but the chance he laid on the plate, well, not on a plate, but the chance he laid on for O'Hare, he's picking people out now from that left area. When he's getting forward, he's picking the players out in the forward areas, and he's not just paying the ball into aimless areas, he's actually picking people out now, and that will make him get a lot more assists. I think he played great, and I think he's improving all the time, and he was my man of the match.
Brilliant. Dean?
I'm going to go the opposite side. I think Dabo was pretty much back to his best in this game. He made a few crucial challenges defensively, but attacking wise, he was superb. Some really, really nice touches, and not afraid to take on that man, push a ball past a player. Did some really, really exciting stuff. And I think most of our good play came from that right hand side. So I'm going to give it Dabo.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We're now going to move on to preview the Derby game. The Sky Blues travel to Pride Park on Tuesday night to take on Derby. What do we know about Derby, Dean? They're having a bit of a torrid time, aren't they, really? I caught up with some of the lads on one of their podcasts last week, and they're really sort of fed up, and it's a real mess there, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, it's pretty much the surprise of the season for me, Tom. So much in the fact that the club are in absolute turmoil. You know, a huge amount was expected this season from Derby under Philip Cocu, but it's their worst start to a season. One win in 14, rock bottom of the league. Don't look like they've got a hope, really, of getting themselves out of it. You know, sometimes you see teams turn a little bit of a corner, but I'm not seeing that at all from Derby. You know, it just seems to be loss after loss, goal conceded after goal conceded. And obviously now with Koku being sacked, they're under the guise of Wayne Rooney. He's taken a little bit step back from his playing duties to try and guide them up the table a little bit. But I think it's probably a good time to play Derby because they are completely down in the dumps.
Yeah, definitely. And what surprised me from what the conversations I was having was that they actually have looked better without Wayne Rooney in the team. Like apparently he's just since lockdown he's been like rubbish really. So perhaps they've been slightly better on the pitch without him. But the communication in the club and with him at the helm apparently it's just been really poor. So like you say, yeah, probably a good time to play them. Andy, what do we know about Derby's team? Some of the signings they made in the summer.
I'll probably go this over to Dino on this one because he'll probably know more than me about Derby. I'm not that familiar with them. I just know that obviously Rooney obviously plays obviously for them and obviously he's taken over the manager's role. So I'll give this to Dino. He'll know more than me.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't make too many signings during the summer. I mean, Jordan Ibe from Bournemouth was a decent signing, although Ibe didn't hit. He didn't hit the heights in that Bournemouth side, what was expected of him.
He's never delivered since Liverpool, has he?
Did
he even deliver at Liverpool?
No, he definitely didn't. But he was one of those, on the edges, on the precipice of
England
a squad.
Under 21s and stuff like that,
You expect when they leave a big club to go to a smaller club, in essence, that they would sort of thrive under that. But, that hasn't happened with him. Going back in history a little bit here, Colin Kazim Richards, who we've probably known from 10 years ago, he's built a career in Turkey since his days in the Championship. I think was it with Brighton he was with at the time?
Yeah, I think so.
So he came in on a free. He had no club. He was unattached during the summer. Brought a bit of experience in a David Marshall, goalkeeper from Wigan. Obviously, Wigan went down. But they bought him in for around about $200,000. They haven't spent a lot of money. Josh React from Lech Poznan. He looks an exciting prospect on the wing, but it's going to be tough to take out Tom Lawrence of that team on the left. But I think for me, they needed someone at the back who has a little bit more guile, can play a little bit of football. And they brought in Matt Clark from Brighton on loan. Another one in the sort of Ostergaard mould where big things are expected of him. So sending him out to a team in the Championship is going to give him a bit more experience as well. He's for me their key signing this season.
And how do they sort of set themselves up, Dean?
Well,
not very well.
No, obviously not. Only one win in 14 matches. But it's kind of a relative unknown because, when you're in that position, you swap and change players all the time. You're trying to find, what works. And they haven't really found any balance to their team. I've watched them a couple of times this year. They just seem to be all over the place, if I'm honest. When they attack, they're free-flowing attack, but they set themselves up for a counter-attack all the time. I would suspect, I don't know the stat, but I would suspect pretty much the majority of goals against them has been from a counter-attack. They've used 25 different players this season as well. We're only in November with a season starting in September, which is an awful lot of players to use. And I know we're in this condensed season, so you're trying to use the squad as much as you can. But they really, really struggle to defend as a unit. So that's where this game will be won, I feel. If we go for something like two up top, we've got a real big opportunity to cause them problems.
Yeah, and do you think that's what we'll go with? How do you think we'll set up for this one, Dean?
I do. Me and Robbins obviously have completely different ideas. I would go two up top and drop one of the three from the sort of top three back into midfield and have sort of like Sheaf, Hammer and Kelly in there. That will give us a bit more, guile in the midfield, a bit more bite and determination. But then you've got Biamu, who's obviously going to be confident as well from his goal at the weekend.
Yeah.
Walker's looked in imperative form as well. So, we've got options now, haven't we? Three or four weeks ago, we were looking, we had no options. That's good to see. You know, it's difficult to see what Robbins is going to do. He's probably going to go with one up top, isn't he, and play the same way he did on Saturday. Is it a must lose, a must win game? Probably not.
No, it's not a must win, but it's a win would be big, wouldn't it?
Because massive, yeah.
When you look at the table, I mean, I think a win would really sink Derby, to be honest.
Yeah, it propels us away from them as well. You know, there's a big gap to pick up. You know, we're going into a month now, which is absolutely vital to our survival in this season. If we take a win from this, you can't imagine the confidence that will give the team.
Yeah,
going ahead, but. Just don't, let's not lose.
That's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, because it gets them closer to us, doesn't it?
Yeah. 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 We don't want it to be the game that sort of turns their season, beating us. What are your thoughts, Grizzo, on how we might set up for this one?
I think it'll be the same as Cardiff. I think we'll play four at the back.
Liked that formation.
Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah, I think he'll play Sheaf and Kelly as holding, which gives you a great base. And then I think he'll just let Shipley, Giles, Hamer and Walker go and attack. So I think that's what I think he'll go with. And I think that won't be a bad decision.
I think we need to look at someone to look after Louis Sibley for me. I mean, he's only 19, but he looks like a real, real prospect of English football. He's come through the Derby Academy. He's smart. He's skillful. He attracts a lot of attention on the pitch as well. He gets fouled quite a lot, a bit like in the mold of O'Hare. Yeah. And I know
surely
a lot of
people, Sheaf and Ship Kelly can deal with him. Sure,
you would hope so. But he's the type of guy that could create a chance from nothing. We just need to be wary of him.
Tom Lawrence hasn't scored this season, which surprises me.
No, and to be honest, Tom Lawrence is one of those players who I don't really think has hit the heights that's been expected of him.
Season.
Yeah, he's had a tough couple of years. A lot of personal tragedy in his family as well. Yeah. So, but he's started to show signs now of sort of getting back to his best. And you know, he's probably the highest rated player in that Derby team. That's obviously struggling this year. But yeah, it is surprising. But you know, Derby have only scored 6 goals this season as a team, with Waghorn scoring 2 of them. And
Chasm Richards up front. You can see why.
Exactly.
Six goals is poor, isn't it? Really?
It is. After 14 games, it is real poor, especially with the threats they've got. They do have threat at that top end of the pitch. I mean, Wayne Rooney is a prime example.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll play, though, will he, Rooney?
No.
I don't think so. No, he seems to have taken a step back. And I think after his post-match interview, I think he wants the job full-time. So he's going to have to, you know, get Derby have a rut to be given the job, I feel.
I don't think he's the man for the
job.
He
probably isn't the man, but it'll mean him taking himself out of the team to take the job, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Who would have thought, hey, Robbins versus Rooney?
Squeaky Robbins, who expected to be the England manager. He could have been managing Wayne Rooney if what's his name had got his way.
Yeah.
The big man. I can't remember Steve Evans, isn't it? That's it, yeah.
Yeah, Steve Evans. I'll grab a prediction from both of you. Andy, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I think we'll win this 2-0. I'm really confident. I think the way they're playing is just dreadful. I think their form is actually in the toilet. I think their confidence is lowest. I think it's a really good time to play them. I think we're playing with some confidence as well. I think confidence is brewing for us. I think it's getting higher and higher each game. And I'm quite confident that the way we're playing, the way we're not conceding goals anymore, we're looking tight, and I think we'll score. So I think it'll be 2-0 us.
Brilliant. Dean?
Yeah, I'm confident a 2-0 victory will do me nicely. It's a really good time to play Derby, but it's not like Cov to not, you know, lose 2-0 in this game, is it? But let's hope we've put the demons of the past firmly in the past and come out on top.
Fingers crossed.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Sky Blues will then host Rotherham at St Andrews on Saturday. Interesting on this, they've had a very similar sort of start to the season as us, Andy. Winning, I think they've won 3 games as well and drawn 4. So sort of similar team, but obviously makes it an important game, you know, kind of a bit of a 6-pointer, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They have made a similar start to us. They've conceded quite a few goals, haven't they?
Less than us, though.
Less than, yeah.
I mean, that's not hard, but...
Not hard, but yeah. They have conceded less than us, but they're still, I think, conceded 18, which is the fifth highest. And they definitely concede goals. Yeah, I think I still have memories of when they beat us last year, you know, at their grounds, 4-0. So, yeah. But no, I think they're a dangerous side. You know, they're a very physical side, aren't they, Rotherham?
Yeah.
They've got that big lad up front, Gianpiero, who's quite decent, isn't he?
Yeah, centre-halves are massive as well.
Oh, they're just huge. They're an absolute monster of a team.
I think they put them in grow bags or something.
Oh, they do. They're just massive. But if we can deal with that threat, I don't think they offer too much else. So I'm quite confident. I think we're going to get 6 out of 6.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, they're going to be, you know, have some confidence. They got a good point against Bournemouth, didn't they, on Saturday, Dean? So, you know, I'm not exactly sure who they're playing in the week, but I think they'll be feeling quite confident from a couple of their recent results.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Rotherham are built on a we do not lose this match kind of mantle. You know, that they just go out not to lose, and they've had a lot of draws so far this season. But yeah, a brilliant 2-2 draw against Bournemouth on Saturday, which will give them the world of confidence. I'm not too sure who they're playing in midweek, but you know, hopefully they're coming off a loss and we're coming off a win, which I think we have the edge over them, if I'm honest. I wouldn't take too much away from that 4-0 result last season. To be honest, if anything, it seemed to be the catalyst to change our season, if anything, that 4-0 loss.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree with you.
Brentford at home, Dean.
Yeah.
Brentford at home. So
I'm just looking at their fixtures, actually, because they've got Brentford at home, and then after us, they've got Watford. Then they play Bristol City, then Blackburn. So they'll probably be looking at this, you know, the run-up to Christmas. The game against us is one that they'll be looking for 3 points as well.
Hmm. So yeah, it really
It is a bit of a six-pointer, really, when you look at it like that.
Yeah, they'll have earmarked us as one of the potential relegation candidates as well. So, you know, like us, we're looking at them the same way. So it's difficult to predict. It might be one of those games where we sort of cancel each other out. But I do think we have that sort of attacking threat, more of an attacking threat than what they do, which will be the key to success in this game.
Yeah. And what do you know about their team, Dean? Did they make any good signings in the summer?
Not really, if I'm honest. The only one that
similar to us, I suppose, low budget, really.
Yeah, they do have a low budget, and it's a case of surviving with what they've got, really.
Yeah.
I think the key signing they made was Dan Balasar from Newcastle. He looks like a real prospect in the middle of the park.
They paid some money for him as well, didn't they?
They did. They spent a couple of hundred K on him. Okay, not a lot of money, but you know, still spending money in this division when, you know, purses are tight, obviously. Mm. So he's the only one that I think is the key signing from the summer. But, you know, they do have a lot of experience in this team. You know, the likes of Matt Crooks, you know, he's a real presence in the middle of the park. He kind of run the show last year against us, but he's struggling to hold down a position in this team. You know, Balasar's come in to sort of replace him as such. But when he plays, he's that type of player, you know, you've been in a game with. You know, there'll be a few bumps and bruises after a match with him. And to be fair, he scores a fair amount of goals for a guy in his position. He scored 11 last year in League One. So he's one to be wary of. And like you said, they've got a huge unit at the back. Mm. Their centre halves are strong. They're dominant. They're very dependable as well. And they rely on, you know, strength and goal to get them through games at times. So we have to be wary of that. You know, do we go with a big man up front to try and counter that? Who knows? I think it's all down to how Tuesday goes, if I'm honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Game.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? It's always hard to look at how we'll set up when we, you know, don't have the foresight of Tuesday. We'll go straight through to predictions then. Andy, what do you reckon for this one?
Yeah, I think this one will be a bit tighter. I think this one will be 2-1 to the Sky Blues. But I do think the next couple of games, I think we're going to get 6 points. I'm really confident going forward. I think we're playing with good confidence. We're not conceding goals. And I think we'll win this 2-1, Tom.
Yeah, we take that. What do you reckon, Dean?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a little cheeky 1-0 victory. Perhaps from a set piece, you know, Rotherham give away the highest amount of fouls in the division.
Yeah, so.
So, you know, the opportunities are going to be there from dead ball situations and the likes of Hammer now back in the side, and you've got Ostergaard, McFadzean, Higham, all a massive threat from delivery. So,
you know, surely Ostergaard's going to score soon. Surely.
Maybe this is the game, an absolute rocket of a header.
Yeah.
It won't be because he won't be playing.
Potentially. Yeah.
But no, he will get one when he plays.
He's got to get one at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think, you know, what we've talked about a bit on the pod is you know, looking at these games in little blocks. And I think we've got a sort of nice three-game block now, haven't we? We've got Derby away, as we mentioned, aren't in great form. And then we've got two home games, Rotherham and Luton. Again, teams we expect to be rounders at the end of the season. Yeah. So what do you reckon we'll be sort of targeting out of these? I sort of said minimum 7 points from these three. What do you reckon, lads?
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think if we get 7 points out of the next three, I think that's a real good return, isn't it? And I think a realistic return as well, isn't it?
I think. Yeah, because I think Luton's probably going to be a little bit tougher than we expect. They're not a bad side. But yeah, I think we definitely got to go out and try and beat Derby and Rotherham. What do you reckon, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, you look 3 weeks ago before the international break, we looked at them three games, the Birmingham, Cardiff and Norwich games, and thought, oh God, you know, if we come out of here with 3 points, we've done really well. And we've come out with five. Yeah. That sort of takes the pressure off in these three games now. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go gung-ho and try to win these matches, but, you know, we would probably look at these games and go, we should get 9 points from them, really, realistically. But if we get a 6 or a 7, you know, that's a good return for those games now, because we've got the five from the previous three. So I think anything over five would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree with that. Cool. Well, chaps, that's all we've got time for this evening. Thanks a lot for your contributions, as always. And listeners, do check out our partner Shortland Horn for the latest properties across Coventry. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Sky Blues Extra YouTube channel, where we have all of our exclusive content and our live match reaction after the games. And as always, if you want to get involved in the conversation on any of our channels, just use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.